We're reading this morning from chapter 25 of St. Matthew's Gospel. We should take note of the fact that in chapter 26, the Passion of the Lord begins. Meaning that chapter 25 contains the last teaching of the Lord Jesus before his suffering begins. In that context, what he teaches in chapter 25 takes on special significance. Chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel is divided into three parts. The first part is the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, who by their own lack of anticipation of what it takes to serve the Lord find themselves excluded from the wedding feast. That parable concludes with these words of the Savior, "Stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour," meaning the day of the Lord, which, as we read in the second lesson this morning, will come like a thief in the night. That's the first part of chapter 25. The third part is the solemn and sobering teaching of the Lord Jesus that on the last day, the great and terrible day of the Lord, he will judge all the nations, that is, every human being who will ever live. And on that day, he will divide those destined for eternal glory from those destined for eternal darkness according to how we have lived. The judge will say to the damned, "Depart from me into the eternal fire, who did not clothe the naked, feed the hungry, welcome the immigrant, visit the sick and the imprisoned." The foolish virgins are excluded from the wedding feast, and the damned are cast out because they did not live according to the teaching of the Word made flesh. Which brings us to today's gospel, the middle section of chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel, the strange parable of the master with 3 servants. The first thing we need to know is what a talent is. In biblical usage, the word means a unit of measure. The problem is, scholars disagree about what it was. It seems to have been, as best we can tell, a way of measuring the weight of precious metal, silver and gold. It might have been as little as 25 pounds of silver or gold, or as many as 75 pounds. Let's split the difference and say, for the sake of argument, that it's 50 pounds of gold. The servant who's given 5 talents is entrusted with 250 pounds of gold. How many hundreds of millions of dollars is that worth to us? In other words, the gifts entrusted to these servants are not small. It's an enormous wealth. The first 2 take the money, and as our translation has it, traded. They invested. They go to the money changers. This is not the banking system that we take for granted. It's not an investment house. There was no stock market. There were no mutual funds. This is a little bit like going to Vegas. They were willing to take a risk with a vast fortune. Remember, it's a parable. These aren't real men. So nobody's going to come and break their legs. What's the Savior teaching us? These men took great risk and doubled the money, 100% investment return. I got 5, I give you 10 back. I got 2, I give you 4 back. And then comes the third, the one who's filled with fear. He's unwilling to take a risk. He says, "Out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground." He buried it in the ground because he was afraid of losing that fortune. And as a consequence, it was taken away from him entirely. And then this, throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, the place of damnation, where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. The foolish virgins, the fearful servant who buries his talent in the ground, and those who do not feed the hungry, clothe the naked, welcome the immigrant, visit the sick and the imprisoned. By their actions, all of these persons are excluded from the kingdom of God. Why? The servant who buries the talent tells the master that it was out of fear that he acted as he did. And if we're attentive this morning, we find that the word fear has already occurred in the first reading and the psalm. We're told in the book of Proverbs about the worthy wife, charm is deceptive and beauty fleeting. The woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And the upright man in Jerusalem, blessed are you who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. What we must understand is the word fear is being used in these texts to describe two completely different things. The servant who buries the talent is afraid of punishment. This is servile fear. It is the fear of a slave for his master. That is not the fear of which the scriptures speak in the first lesson and the Psalms. The fear of the Lord spoken of here is not servile fear, it is filial fear. Perhaps a better way of putting it in our language is awe and reverence. As children for their parents, we who stand before the presence of God with awe and reverence will have an entirely different relationship with him than those who cringe like dogs waiting for the kick. Servile fear has no place in the kingdom of heaven. Only children of our Father have a place in the kingdom, and the only way to be children of our Father is to be filled with filial fear, that is reverence and awe. In Matthew's gospel, over and over again, the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, be not afraid. And in saying that, he means to exclude not the fear of the Lord, but servile fear, the fear of slaves. Consider in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, the apostles in their boat are afraid that they're going to drown. They see him walking on the water. They're more afraid still. But he reassures them, it is I, be not afraid. And then he reveals his divine glory and his mastery over nature by calming the storm. On Mount Tabor, Peter, James, and John, seeing the glory of the eternal Son of the Father under the veil of his human flesh drawn back, together with Moses and Elijah, the glory cloud, the Shekinah, is too much for them. They fall on their faces in fear. And he says to them, be not afraid. And on Easter Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and her companion go to the tomb to anoint the body. Instead, they find the tomb is empty. And then they see him, the risen Christ. And in their ignorance and misunderstanding, they are filled with fear. And again he says, be not afraid. In each of these three examples, what is it of which the disciples were afraid? In the first, it's death in a storm. It's the simple fact that we don't control nature. The doctor walks into your examination room and says, my friend, you have cancer. The Savior says, be not afraid. Peter, James, and John were not really afraid of the glory cloud. They were afraid of their sins. Nothing unholy can stand in the presence of God. They knew their own sins, and so, of course, they were terrified of being consumed, as all that is not of God must be in his presence. When we have sins in our hearts, particularly embarrassing sins, we're always afraid we're going to be found out. Someone's going to discover it. It fills us with fear. And the Savior says, "Be not afraid." And of course, we're terrified of death. It rips apart what was knitted together in our mother's wombs. If there's nothing beyond death, then it's the end of us. Everything we ever were and hoped to be, all of our love, everything we work for, all of our hopes extinguished in rottenness. And the Savior says, "Be not afraid." He is the absolute master of nature and everything in it. He is the one who cleanses us of our sins. He is the one who delivers us from the grave. What can separate us from the love of God in Christ? Nothing. 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 Therefore, be not afraid. There is no place for servile fear in the kingdom of God. That's why the servant who buried his talent could not be there. Friends, every gift we receive, and what do we have that we didn't receive? Our lives, our capacities, our human abilities, everything about us. If you're beautiful, the Lord made that. That's your gift. If you're smart, the Lord gave you that. If you're an athlete, guess where that came from? Every human capacity we have, everything we are, is a gift. And everything we receive as a gift is given to us for the sake of someone else. Not one thing we receive is given to us for our own sake. And the poor wretch who buried the talent in the ground made that mistake. He was not willing to risk anything. And giving ourselves away is risky business. Unrequited love, one of the most difficult things to bear. The literature of every civilization is filled with attempts to describe the unique misery of unrequited love. You give your heart to someone else who won't have it and doesn't return it. Have you ever tried to share your faith with someone who didn't want it? We're given the gift of faith. It's our duty and our privilege to share it with everyone. That doesn't mean we have to set up a soapbox on an intersection downtown and stand there thundering about our faith. But you know how hard it is when someone you know, even casually, perhaps a colleague at work or someone in the neighborhood, has learned, "I've got cancer." How hard it is to say, "My friend, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ?" It's a little easier maybe to say, "Would you like to come to church with me?" Or perhaps even, "I'll pray for you. Thank you. Will you pray with me?" Just say, "Our Father," and the rest will take care of itself. Giving ourselves away, especially our love and our faith, is the reason we have those things at all. And here's the paradox. The more we give them, the more completely and thoroughly and generously we give them away, the greater they are. Whose love is diminished by sharing it with others? Whose faith gets smaller by leading others to faith. It's the one who believes that Jesus is Lord and won't talk about it with a living soul who finally finds himself doubting. It's the one who won't give his heart to anyone who finally loses the capacity to love. To everyone who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. That's the heart of this parable. The blessings with which we are endowed are meant for someone else, and it's our duty and privilege to give it all away. It's fear that holds us back, servile fear. And the antidote to servile fear is surrendering to the one who can say with complete honesty and authenticity, "Be not afraid."